Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As we welcome in our Kings Insider from the Insiders, our man James Hamm. Hammer, we were just talking about you guys at practice this weekend. We learned that Kevin Huerter with the sprained AC joint. Did Mike talk at all about Kevin and his availability this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, he talked to us, like, in general. Like, he doesn't know when Kevin will be available. He doesn't know, like, well, that, and he also didn't know when Trey would be available. Who is back, he's at practice, but whether he's practicing or not, we don't actually know. Mm-hmm. We asked him about it, like, hey, what are you going to do now? Like, how are you going to fill in those minutes? And Mike was pretty clear, like, hey, look, if somebody jumps off the table and, like, you have to play him, you know, hits a bunch of shots and, like just outright wins a rotational spot during this time, then, you know, Mike's all for it. But at the same time, there's a good chance that he's just gonna have to, like, put guys in and see how, if they're not doing well, switch to the next guy and kind of piecemeal this thing until Kevin's back, until Trey's back. You know, it's not a good situation to be in for the Kings, because they are, you know, when you make a move like they did to put Malik Monk into the starting lineup, first of all, there's no way to go back from it, really. Mm-hmm. But secondly, once you do that, it changes the dynamic of your roster greatly. And as opposed to having a player like Keon Ellis or sifting through players that can start at the shooting guard spot and give you 15 or 20 minutes as the fifth scorer in the starting unit, you now have to figure out who that guy is off the bench who can give you anything. And finding someone who can consistently do it is not easy. And, you know, I don't know that the Kings have somebody on their roster right now that is that type of player.
Do you think, because we've had this discussion the last couple days and maybe a week or so, is, you know, needing to go get more bench help. And I'd like to get more bench help. I'm definitely open to going and getting guys like Cam Johnson or Finney Smith or something like that. But I also look at it where I think the story of this team and how far this team is going to go is – the play of that starting five, now that Malik Monk is in there. And if they're playing at a high level consistently, I think whatever you have on the bench is going to be all right, at least when you talk about getting into the top six. But if I don't think if you go get Finney Smith and Keegan Murray is still struggling like he was early in November, that it's going to be all right. Like, I think more importantly, those guys need to play better. But do you feel like they need to go get some bench help?
I think it's a little of both. Like, yeah, I mean, your starting five sort of is what it is. It's your best five players. And I don't think there's any, you know, there's any way around that. You're starting your best five. Mm-hmm. That's typically not what most teams do, at least not their top five scorers, mm-hmm. right? So what you're going to do going forward is you're going to try to find pieces that work with those five. And you're going to have to really, really work to keep like two or three of those five on the court at all times. And so I don't think we're ever going to see like a five-man bench unit unless it's, you know, 5 minutes left in a game and it's a lopsided score one way or another. It's a tough situation to be in, though. And like, look, to a certain degree, I understand what you're saying, Kenny, that, you know, that you're only going to go as far as those five take you. But that doesn't mean that like that you don't have an 8-man rotation, and in that rotation, you don't have something different. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be able to have like variance for your opponent, or you become like extremely predictable. And that's just sort of the way the NBA is. And I think the Kings can get way, way better at what they do. But I would also look back to, you know, let's just say Mike Bibby, Doug Christie, Pejo Stojakovic, Vlade Divac, and Chris Webber. Mm-hmm. Like, you still had a Bobby Jackson. You still had a Hedo Turkoglu. You still had a Scott Pollard. You had really, really good players off the bench that knew their roles and knew how to play to their strengths and brought something different. You know, Scott Pollard is not a Vlade or a Chris Webber clone, even in the least bit. He was an enforcer who came in and played defense and popped people and, you know, rebounded. And Bobby Jackson was very different than the other two guards in that lineup, mm-hmm. but he brought something different to the table. And so it doesn't matter how good your starting five is. When you go up against a team like Denver tonight, who has, you know, Russell Westbrook and Peyton Watson and a handful of other guys off their bench, somebody's got to score off your bench. Somebody has to try to keep up with that second unit, or at least counteract some of what they're doing. So then that way it's not all on the five guys that are starting, because if it's all on the five guys that are starting and two of them don't have a good shooting night, your night's over. And that's not a good place to be.
Sacramento Kings got a lot to figure out as they kick off this five-game homestand, Hammer. And KC was laminating the importance earlier of they got to start establishing something at home. It's great they got back to 500. It's great that they've won three in a row, but with five games at home and right now you're a game below 500 on the season, they got to start turning G1C into a place that is difficult for teams to play in, because right now it is very much not.
No, and like we tried to discuss that earlier a couple of times, and just like, what is it that, why is it that other teams come in and like, first of all, I know the sight lines are good, and I know shooters love to shoot at Golden 1. So, I mean, that's one thing. Whatever it is about the gym, the backdrop, whatever it is, like, opposition has no problem shooting at Golden 1 Center. But I also think that, you know, the crowd in Sacramento is amazing, and they always bring energy. And I think that energy, that is possible that other teams feed off that energy too. And I also think that this Kings team, for whatever reason, for the last 5 or 6 years, they don't feed off the crowd like they should. And oppositions do feed off they feed off the Kings crowd. You know, you walk into a building, whether it's hostile or whether it's, it's pulling for you. If it's a noisy, rambunctious group of people that are all excited to be there, like, you feed off of that. And for whatever reason, the Kings have, as a group, have not been able to capitalize on that. They've not been able to really, you know, ride the wave of their home crowd. And I don't get it, because, you know, we talked about like 2 years ago, this team won 48 games and they won 23 at home and 25 on the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a 51-52 team win team in most situations. If you're going to win 25 on the road, you should always have a better home record than you do a road record. That it doesn't make any sense, but it is who this group is, and it doesn't matter how the pieces change. It still feels that way, and they got to figure it out.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but we got the next five games at the Golden 1 Center, and this is as great of an opportunity as any to kind of change those fortunes and trying to change what's been going on in recent years at the Golden 1 Center and start to kind of turn things on its head a little bit and start to become a close to dominant home team. And you've got Denver. You got two with L.A. You've got Indiana. You've got Detroit. And aside from Detroit, I feel like all three of those other teams are on your same level. You got them at home, man. Come on, man. Take care of business. Said it before. I'll continue to say it. I need no less than 4-1 in these five games. I need that.
No, I'm with you. I mean, like, look, they play 9 of the next 11 games at home, and the two games that are on the road are both in the state of California. Like, if you can't take advantage of that, I hate to tell you, but this team is going nowhere, because I know what the schedule looks like in January. I know what the schedule looks like in March. And I mean, I guess we could say, well, they're better on the road, so maybe they will do just fine on that 6-game road trip. But that 6-game road trip that includes, you know, I don't know what, two teams in New York, a team in Philly, a team in Minnesota. Like, it's a brutal trip. And if you can't take advantage of home games with a big crowd at your back, then I don't know what to say. Because, again, we could just say, all right, well, they're just going to win more games on the road. So it might be better that they're on the road. But that's not logical to any team that I've ever seen that is successful in the NBA. And, you know, for whatever the reason, the Kings just can't figure it out. And it's tough.
What have the Kings shown you the last couple of days? Or, sorry, the last couple of games, last three games? What have they shown you, if anything?
Yeah, they won like 4 out of 5. They've shown me a better resiliency. They've shown me that they understand that passing the ball and not letting it get sticky is huge, that this team is better when they are moving the ball. I don't know. They've shown some fight. They've shown the ability to finish a game off, even if it shouldn't have been as close as it was. And, you know, I think some of the same tendencies are there that we've seen all season long, but they are improving. And I guess that's all you can ask for. You know, the rebounding numbers, I think, are good. They've been better rebounding the ball. They're starting to shoot the ball from three better. They're starting to defend the three a little bit better. And, you know, we talked about it so many times, but it's not about just like all of a sudden you make more three-pointers than the other team. Like, baby steps, you got to close the gap. It can't be the other team hits 15 threes and you hit 11 every single night and you're starting from a 12-point deficit from behind the arc. It's got to be something where you're starting to improve both as a shooting team, but also as a defensive team that's defending that three. And I think like tonight is going to be a really interesting like experiment, because this Denver team, they lead the league in assists at over 30 a game. They're absolutely incredible moving the ball. They lead the league in 2-point field goals and 2-point field goal percentage, I believe. So what they do is they get to the basket. Most of their shots are around the rim. And then they're shooting like 38.1% from three. They're 7th in the league in percentage, but they're 30th in 3-point attempts. And so they kind of do exactly what the Kings would want a team to do when they come into Sacramento. They hit their threes, but if you can limit how many threes they take, and then just play really good defense on the 2 points, 2-point field goal attempts, you might be okay. But you know, again, this is a team who's really good at something, and they have been for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, and the Kings have to figure out ways to stop that team. And so I think it's a good test. It will show us like, where are some of your principles and how are you learning, especially when you have, you know, basically a week off to get ready for game action and to clean up a bunch of stuff.
Well, that last point that you just made, how much stock do you put into that? Whereas, you know, there wasn't a lot of practice time for a team that was trying to, you know, incorporate a major piece in DeMar DeRozan. And for the last 10 days or so, you played one game, you've been able to practice. How much stock do you put in to them being able to practice and get a little more familiar with each other? And you know, this early in the season, November, December, something like that.
Well, I think it could be huge. It doesn't help that Kevin Huerter got injured right before, or, you know, in the one game that you did play in the last 7 days, you know, he tore up his shoulder again. That's not a good thing, because it doesn't matter like whether people out there love Kevin Huerter or don't like Kevin Huerter. Kevin Huerter is still a valuable member of this team, and they need what he does on the court. I think that this was a good moment for guys who have a bunch of bumps and bruises, you know, many of which they just don't report. You know, guys who are beat up and not feeling great. But even guys like Domas and DeMar, who missed time with back injuries, those back injuries are still hiding there. And so for them to get this time off to recover, to relax, to get their bodies right, that's big. But I also, like, there is something about you just won three in a row and four out of five, and you were starting to get a little bit of a rhythm, and now your rhythm's broke because you haven't played in 4 days or 5 days. And so I don't know, it's kind of a coin flip on whether this is a positive or a negative, but the long-term health of the team, I certainly think is a positive, especially gets you a couple of days closer to Trey Lyles being back. It gets you a couple of days closer to Devin Carter being healthy. And hopefully it's given Kevin Huerter a little bit of time where it's not just, you know, straight up Kevin Huerter already missed three or four games and you're hoping to get him back.
Yeah. With this group, like, Kevin's injury might throw another, you talk about, like, you're in a rhythm and then you got this break, then you get the game, then you got like this another little short little break, and now you might, and we don't know, you might take the floor without. I asked you how you felt about four of the last five. Kevin's been a pretty big part of why they've been able to win four of their last five. He's done, you know, really well in his role coming off the bench. So it's kind of back to that bench conversation, Hammer, where you got into a groove, but you're going to have to adjust now because that guy you were relying to hit a couple of shots in his, you know, 20, 25 minutes, he might not be there.
Yeah, and I know in the chat, Kevin Huerter is not out for the season. Kevin Huerter sprained
his Kevin's not even out for
joint.
Tonight. At least
well,
as
he
stands.
Is now.
Oh, no, he is officially out. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's officially out, and Keegan Murray's questionable now.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. That's yeah. Good. So not great. Yeah, Kevin Huerter is officially out, but it's an AC joint sprain. It's not nearly as dramatic as the previous injury, but it is the same shoulder. I think we all saw it during the game. Mm-hmm. Like, he got banged and all of a sudden he started, you know, moving his shoulder around. I think, like, again, Kevin Huerter's, like, he's been hit and miss from three still. He's had a couple of really, really good games, but also a couple of, you know, the last game, what was he, 1 of 8 from three? Mm-hmm. But what Kevin Huerter's been able to do is come off the bench and change the energy on the court. And he doesn't do it in the same way that that Malik Monk does, where Monk just, like, takes a ball and all of a sudden, you know, he's got this bounce in his step and he's flying all over the place. What Kevin does is all of a sudden he starts running around at a different speed than everybody else is. Mm. And it was like, it's very, very, like, you can see it. The second he's on the court, the whole entire action on the offensive end goes faster. Mm. And he's moving, he's darting in, people are chasing him around, and he's disruptive in a very unique way. And that's something the Kings are going to have to figure out how to replicate, because that's sort of like his magic power, is to be disruptive off the ball and to really draw a lot of attention, whether he's taking a shot or not. And, you know, again, I know some people like Doug McDermott. I've got to turn to Doug McDermott tonight and say, hey, man, like, please figure it out. Like, hit your first one and then hit three or four more and give us something off the bench. Because I think Doug has that same exact, like, momentum to his game. He might not move as much as Kevin, but he definitely has a quicker shot than Kevin. Mm. And if he can start getting hot, he just draws a crowd. And the Kings really, really need that coming off the bench. They need someone to step up. And, you know, it's fine if Isaac Jones is getting 10 or 12 points as, like, a scrap, you know, an occasional pick and roll guy, but rebound, put back, transition bucket, that type of player. But you do need somebody else on this team that can hit some shots and sort of get all of the momentum going one way on the court to open things up for someone else.
And, you know, I see people in the chat talking about it, and, you know, I look at things sometimes as an opportunity, and maybe this is an opportunity for Kobe Jones. That's what it is. Will he be ready for it? But somebody got to play, and he's already been in a bunch of NBA games at this point, so why not have him?
Well, he's got a coach that loves him.
Yeah. It could be an opportunity for him. Could be an opportunity to show that, hey, because who knows how many
I hope someone loves me the way Mike loves Colby Jones. That's all you can ask for in life is type of love.
How many shot opportunities is he getting with Kevin Huerter there? Maybe not many, but now Kevin Herter's gone, they're kicking it out to you. I don't know. Maybe it could be a revelation.
You know, the funny thing is, Mike was asked about, you know, players going back and forth between the G League and up with the big club. And I haven't been tracking Colby Jones's G League appearances, but he did get into a game. Was it yesterday? He went up and then came back and joined the Kings later in the day. Hmm. Like, look, there is progress is happening with Colby Jones, and what he is at the G League level, it is not a bad player at all. He's actually a very productive player, and you're wondering why he can't transition that to the NBA. And sometimes it's just aggressiveness. Sometimes it's just trying to fit in. But whatever Colby is doing at the G League level, the Kings would love to see him do at the parent club. And the moment that he's able to translate some of who he is there to the pro level, he will be a serviceable player, or he won't ever do it, and he'll just be a 4A player and bounce back and forth between the parent club and the lower club and never really make his mark on the league. But I think there is an outline of a player there, and I get what you're saying, Casey. I mean, he's scored 20 a bunch of times at the G League level. It's not like he can't score. It's not like he can't shoot. It's just when he gets up with the big boys and the bright lights are on, he hasn't been able to have a moment.
And well, it's not it's just
tough.
A moment, Hammer. Sometimes he looks lost. Mm. And I think that's my frustration with Colby Jones. It's like I want the brother to figure it out and be a good ball player, but I don't want him to figure it out at the expense of the Sacramento Kings winning and losing games. And maybe that's the difficult part with where the Kings bench is. Maybe that's just not the case. This is who their bench is, and they're going to have to play guys who can help. Keon's going to have to be good tonight. There's not going to be any question of Keon Ellis's minutes. He's going to need to be good tonight. He's going to have to be aggressive shooting. He's going to have to be aggressive shooting the three, attacking. Like he has to be good tonight. Mm-hmm. And like I want Colby Jones to succeed. It's just I don't mind when players miss shots. I just get like he just looks lost sometimes, and I don't know. That's Papayannis vibes. I don't know what to do with that. Nah, but like now Papayannis, like you could see, like you look at Papayannis sometimes and go ah. Yeah, like, okay, I see the skill set, the size, like all of that. He just looked lost on a basketball floor.
Yeah, yeah. I felt that way with, what's the center's name? He's in Boston.
Nemi Escada.
I felt that same way about him a lot.
That's just hate.
Yeah, I mean.
I like Nemi Escada.
When you watch Nemi play at the G League level, he just took too long to get into anything. Like, I understood, like, where the Kings were like, hey, man, like, you can't just, like, slow play the first 6 minutes here in a game and then all of a sudden dominate for 5 minutes. It's like, you show that you can dominate, we're going to need you to dominate. And, you know, that I think he learned that more in his last year in the G League. But I would compare, if, like, we're going there and compare, I would compare Colby Jones' path more to what we saw from Justin James. Where there were moments where he was like super fun to watch and he was a big dunker and he did all these things, but like tying like how to get from point A to point B was like a really, really tough chore for him, and being consistent and not being like out of control and settling in. He never settled in. And I think that's what we're kind of seeing with Colby so far. And it's really tough because if you're a bad team, if you're the 2017 Sacramento Kings, then Colby Jones would get 20 something minutes a night and be able to figure out how to be an NBA player because wins and losses didn't matter. But that's not what this Kings team is. And you're not flooding the roster with a bunch of guys who don't know how to go in on a nightly basis and win. And it's why some nights Isaac Jones plays a bunch, and in some nights when he doesn't play hardly at all. And it's just like, The idea here is not just to compete and have a good time and grow some young players. And hopefully 2 years from now, 3 years from now, the Kings will be better. You know, that's just not the situation those guys were brought into in the NBA. And that's it. Situation exists all over the league. You know, the Brooklyn Nets have that situation. There's a bunch of teams that have that situation where you can go and be bad for a team and learn on the fly and try to improve. But that's just not, you know, Colby has to figure out how to jump out of one game and crank it up to the next level and be the same player and just have it work better at the pro level. And again, he's not the first player who struggled with that. But especially good teams, you just don't have time to wait. And you've got, if you're a player, every opportunity you get, you have to put your stamp on the game and hope that that's, you know, that you're able to earn more minutes, more trust. And he just hasn't been able to do it yet.
Real quick, I chuckled a little bit because didn't Justin James have like 33 points with the season on the line in Memphis?
Oh, yeah.
Justin James, who couldn't throw it in the ocean with the season on the line at 33 in a loss.
Well, we have reached the portion of the show where we're finding Colby Jones minutes and reminiscing about Justin James. This is great. This is good. All things are looking up for the Kings against Denver tonight. We'll come back. We'll talk more with James Hamm. Plus, Beam money on the way,
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Believe that.
Stealing with KC, Sacramento sports leader, ESPN 1320. Well, James just outlined the doom and gloom of the pick swap.
Lost that trade.
I was just kidding. James didn't do that at all.
There's nothing more to say about it. We lost it. We lost it, Bob.
Oh, I wish I could remember who wrote the most coveted asset of the trade, the 2031
probably
pick
Bontemps.
Swaps. I think that's actually who it was. James's boy. Tim Bontemps. Oh, man.
Ridiculous.
Tim Bontemps.
Michael Malone he hates the Kings, and he loves to beat them as many times as possible. But this is a Denver team that's kind of okay. Like they're 13-10. I don't know how much better they are than that. I certainly don't think they're any worse than that. But this is a game, James, where we talk about this 5-game stretch. We talk about them being at home, man. But you look at these next three in particular. You have a Denver Nuggets team that's in the same vicinity as you, standings-wise, record-wise, and you have a Los Angeles Lakers team that's in the same vicinity as you, standing-wise and record-wise. These next three games are really big for Sacramento. And I don't want to use – it's not like a measuring stick, but you do – you got to kind of come out on the upper end of some of these with these teams that you're in the same – you know, you're in the same ballpark as.
Okay, so a couple of things. Number one, Michael Malone loves Sacramento. He loves Sacramento Kings fans. He does not like ownership. Just so we're clear.
Well, yeah, that's why he likes beating the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, he does. And he also hates that I think they went 1-3 last year against the Kings.
I love that.
And during his time with Denver, they have not fared all that well against the Kings for whatever reason. Let's see. Besides that, I don't know what to make of this Denver Nuggets team. Like coming into the season, you knew that sort of like they kept losing little pieces here and there. And when you lose piece after piece after piece of valuable role players, eventually you run into this problem that you don't have the right depth. And, you know, again, this team would look a lot different if Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was starting at the shooting guard and Christian Brown was coming off the bench with Peyton Watson and Russell Westbrook. But that's just not the case. And so, you know, again, I think that they're a beatable team. But, you know, like when you deal with odds makers, right, usually the home team gets like a +3. Mm-hmm. That's usually just it's like a basics of gambling. So if they think that two teams are like straight up equal, then, you know, the home team would get like they'd be a 3-point advantage. Sometimes it's a little bit less than that, but I don't know what to make of this Kings team and their home woes. And so I'm not going to give them any of that. And so these games should be straight up 50-50 games. This is a team that's not that far ahead of you in the standings. They're not way better than you as far as like talent or anything else, but you don't play well at home. And so I don't know why we have to put that as like a disclaimer on this Kings team. But it's exactly what we do have to put on this team. Like you look at every game in this stretch, and if this was a good home team, you're looking at 4-1 or 5-0. but this isn't a good home team. So you're hoping for 4-1, but understanding that 3-2 is a possibility. And hey, this team has proven us time and time again that they can do something much worse than that. They could go 2-3, they could go 1-4, and then we're all back to, you know, chaos and dogs and cats living together and like all that stuff.
Do you have a reason for why Domantas Sabonis seems to play so well against Nikola Jokic? He's fared pretty well against them since he's been in Sacramento, at least. Is it just a matchup thing? Does he have a distinct advantage on Jokic on anything? Like, in your opinion, why is he always pretty successful against Joker?
Domas?
Yes.
You cut out for a sec. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's that, you know, like we even asked, somebody asked Amar yesterday about the difference between Jokic and Sabonis. And he said Jokic is more finesse than Sabonis. Like Sabonis is a true tough guy that doesn't mind pushing you around and uses his physicality as like one of his weapons, where Jokic just uses like every single tool in the toolbox. Talk about just like an absolutely gifted player that, like, realistically in modern NBA doesn't make any sense how good he is. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't. I mean, you look at him, you could say the same thing about Luka. You know, guys that, you know, 6'7" for Luka, so he's not this like gigantic human being, but still, like, they look out of shape. They look like they, you know, they're just playing at like a really regular everyday speed. And then they just torch you. And so I think that Jokic has, like, again, he's more overall skilled than Domas, but he's not as physical. And I think just it's a great battle between the two best passing big men in the league. And then the other thing I'd bring up is that Alex Len, for whatever reason, is actually a really good matchup against Jokic as well. And it's because he doesn't leave his feet and he's super long and you know, doesn't get pushed around. Mm-hmm. And he bothers Jokic as well. And so, like, I think that it's just the Kings have two guys that give a different look to Jokic, and both of them just happen to be, you know, a little bit of kryptonite for Jokic. Not that they've stopped him, because, I mean, I've seen Jokic put up, you know, although that was against Rashawn Holmes, that one stretch where he had like 90 points in two games against the Kings. On Rich, and Rich needed like a mental break after that. It's just like brutal to get beat up like that.
Why does everyone hate Domas? Why is Domas the most underappreciated player in the entire league?
I don't know. I don't get it, because, you know, like, if you've been around Domas, Domas is a perfectly fun dude. Like, it's usually when someone gets treated like disrespected like he does, it's usually because they have some sort of personality quirk that people don't like that's in addition to whatever he does bring. But like, look, I've never covered a player like Domas that you can count on a double-double every single game, and you can count on a triple-double like 25-30% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least like close to a triple-double, more like 45-50% of the time. Like, he's so incredibly impactful and talented, and this Kings team went from a team that was winning 30 to 33 games a year to a team that won 48, 46, and who knows what they'll win this year. Like, the reason why the Kings have taken the leap that they did has a lot to do with the fact that Domantas Sabonis is on the roster and that he just brings it each and every night. And I find it interesting that, like, out there in the world, like, you hear a lot of chirping at Domantas Sabonis for the things he doesn't do, but then he's all NBA, which means, like, and if you look at the voting, he usually comes in like number 11 or number 12 in all NBA voting. So they consider, people out there who follow the NBA consider him a top 12 or 11 player in the league. And so I don't understand why it always comes up that, you know, that he's overlooked.
I still wonder if it's because of Jokic. Like, they don't pay any attention to Domas because, well, they focus all this attention on Jokic, and Jokic does the same thing, so we'll focus on someone who does something different.
Yeah. Could be.
The advanced statistics with Jokic, he's going to go down as one of the, statistically speaking, one of the greatest players we've ever seen in the game.
Yeah, no,
and he already is. I mean, like, look, he's already won three MVPs, and there's possibility for him to win four or five MVPs. I think people are going to get tired of him winning MVPs.
Some of us already are.
Yeah.
Not speaking about anybody in particular, just saying. Yeah.
I just tell you that something like win shares, like something that actually like impacts winning, like he's led the league every year for like the last 5 years, and it's not even close. It's not even remotely close. And every single year, Domantas Sabonis is either second or third or fourth. Like their impact on the game of basketball and winning.
So Domantas is the second greatest player of all time.
There it is.
We did it. James, get out of here.
Figured it all out.
We did. I'm proud of us. I'm proud of us, Hammer.
We did it.
We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
World's greatest cup of coffee.
Thanks, James.
See you guys.
Take care, James.
Hammer on his way to the Golden 1 Center right now as the Sacramento Kings take on the Denver Nuggets tonight at the Golden 1 Center. You want to do some beam money?
Yes, indeed.
I feel like we have this. Like, we can do this, right?
Great cash, homie.
Yes, indeed, man. We got that Beam Money linking up with Cash Carraway, linking up with Prize Picks. You know what I mean? Prize Picks. That's the place to go to win some money the same way you would get on D-Lo and Casey, talk at the barbershop, talk at the gym about, oh, I think this guy going to go off for this. I think this guy going to hit this. Hey, put your money where your mouth is. Create a lineup on Prize Picks, all right? And put in that promo code KIFM. Get a free $50 with your first $5 lineup. And every Kings game, you know we got Beam Money. Today is no different.
What we got here.
And I'm...
Real quick, shout out to the Pittsburgh Steelers for making sure that... Shout out to the free play. Shout out to the Patrick Mahomes free play.
They got a new one coming up, too.
Oh,
for Christmas Day. Jokic, 0.5 points.
Oh, get on that. Yeah, I ain't too proud.
Christmas Day.
I ain't too proud. What was my other play? Oh, they had Lamar at 215. They had Lamar at 215.5. I took more. He ended at 290. I took Saquon at less than 100.5.
I like
he
that.
He ended at 65. I wanted the power play. I was confident with that Patrick Mahomes free play. Your boy took home 100 yesterday on a 20.
That's a real good look.
Yes, sir.
That's a real good look right there. Today, for this Beam Money, I got four plays.
Okay.
I got four guys in my lineup.
All right.
I got De'Aaron Fox.
Okay.
36.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Mm. Give me more.
Mm.
Christian Brown, 18.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Give me less. I don't think he cooks like that. DeMar DeRozan, 21.5 points. Give me more. And Malik Monk, 2.5 three-pointers made. Give me more on that. I'm going with the power play today. I'm not playing with y'all. Yeah, I'm going with the power play.
They got Domas at 19 rebounds plus assists.
I peeped that one as well. I peeped that one as well. Yeah.
Mort.
Oh, let's go.
Let me get in here. They got De'Aaron at 7.5 assists tonight. What do we got? Bam Adebayo at 10.5 rebounds against Detroit. Let me get in on some of this Fox money, though.
Yeah. Like I said, Fox, 36.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Give me more. Like I said, put in that promo code KIFM to get $50 instantly first $5 lineup. So do that. You must be present in certain states. Go to prizepicks.com for more details. Run your game.
Yeah, okay. Okay, commercial guy. They got De'Aaron with the little demon at 29.5.
Ooh.
They got the red demon at 29.5 points. Yeah.
Well, possibly.
I'm confident in my feeling.
You'll need
Foxy
to put him up. Him and DeMar, they're going to have to put it up.
I'm going to go more. I'm going to take the red demon. I've never done the demon plays before.
Oh. Thunders, that's what it is.
They got 15 assists for Fox and Jokic. Oh, I'm like, give me that.
That's a good one.
Give me
that.
That's
a good one. Yeah.
Hold up. Give me that. Oh, that's I don't, man.
I wish I would have found that before I submitted my lineup.
I'm in the weeds right now. So what's it look like with the little red demon? If I did a 20, the two out of three earns me 100.
Ooh.
Yeah, because of the little demon.
Ooh.
All right, here's where I'm going. I'm going Domas. Oh, yeah, I'm going Domas at more than 19 rebounds and assists.
I like that.
I'm going the Jokic combo of Foxy and Jokic at 15 assists.
Mm.
And then De'Aaron at 29 and a half. I'm going more.
Mm.
Give me that demon. Come on, boy. 20 on 100. Submit. Let's go. Oh, this is what happens. You win one weekend. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, I can't play De'Aaron twice. God damn
you
it.
You got to choose one.
Damn it. I'm taking
like
the
one
the
with
demon.
Him. And, I like the one with him and Jokic.
But I want the demon.
Go get Malik's 2.5 threes. Take more.
Well, I could.
Malik going to put up the 3-point shot. He's going to make 3 of them tonight.
So
at least.
So I can get the demon on 7.5 assists for Malik.
I mean, it's not.
Oh, man. Come on.
But you get the demon with De'Aaron's points and then go get Malik's.
But you told me to take the Jokic combo.
But you said you wanted the.
I want the demon.
Yeah, so go get the demon.
Okay.
Go get the demon for De'Aaron. Get Malik's points. Domas rebounds and assists. Boom.
Get back to getting
10 times your money right there.
I can get Malik. I can get a Malik demon at 19 and a half.
Points?
Yeah.
That's a demon. That's a demon. 19 and a half. That's a demon right there.
Let's see. What Malik against the Pelicans, that was his worst game as a starter. I think he had 5 against the Jazz. Malik had 16 against the Spurs. Malik had 22 against the Grizzlies. Malik had 23 against the Rockets. Mm. Malik had 17. We'll go one more to the Spurs. 19. That's a demon. Yeah, that's a demon.
This is another great thing about Prize Picks on the app. They've got the recent trends right there. All the stats and everything. Put that little click on that little graph thing.
Oh.
And it shows you what they've done recently.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at me learning to be a little gambler right here. Oh, man, just take your money. I'm going to take Malik at 14 and a half. What's my lineup now? Oh, man, it cut my bread down.
Damn. I'm trying to get you back up to that 100.
Give me.
What's that? Because you get 100, that's probably about 15 times your money or something like that?
That's bad math, I think. I don't know.
No, it'd be 5 times.
Here's what I'm doing.
Oh, you need to get up to 10 times. That's what we need to do.
All right, man. I'm just going for it. I'll tell y'all what I do later. I'm just doing it. Because I got it up to 140. I got it up to 140 on a 20.
And that's a flex.
Man, I'm going to need this team to play right.
Is that a flex play?
That's a flex.
Okay, that's a good look.
The power get me to 200.
I'm saying I went with the power play. I didn't play around today. I went with the power play.
20 on a 200.
Give me that power play. I only win $10 to win 100. You know what I'm saying? We got De'Aaron Fox, 36.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Christian Braun, less than 18.5 points, rebounds, and assists.
I need both Kentucky boys to go off if I do this.
Kentucky connection. They're going to cook.
All right, lineup submitted.
Yeah. I've been telling you to stay away from Tyrese, and he's been cooking. I'm telling you right now, the Kentucky boys is about to cook tonight, so go ahead and play that.
All right. Now that we walked me through my gambling, my fantasy.
Yeah, we're playing. We're just playing.
That's what we're doing.
Lineup playing, you know what I mean?
We can't do this over on KSFM. We just got to read the commercial, and we've got to keep it moving, and use the promo code KSFM and keep it moving. We don't get to cut. We don't get to talk like this. We got to work our way through it. We got to have money.
Yeah, man.
I had a good weekend with that Saquon Barkley.
That was a good look, too. Shout out to the Steelers, even though they didn't win.
Shout out to the Steelers. They did what I needed them to do.
It's a good way to watch the games when you have no real vested interest. Obviously, we want the Kings to win, but Steelers, Eagles, nobody really cared. I set a lineup. I think I'm going to do that all throughout the playoffs. Because, actually, I was about to say I have no vested interest, but, I mean, I definitely want the Eagles to lose. So, definitely want them to lose some games. The first game, matter of fact.
Do we got one of these games? Why is the show ending so early?
Monday Night Football?
Are you okay?
We have the Raiders.
It's a little difficult navigating the mouse to the mic or whatever because I got to click on the virtual board. But yeah, we got a game after Purple and Black.
Then we have the Raiders.
Oh, that's right. The Raiders play.
Raider Nation Radio.
I forgot the Raiders played tonight.
Throw some enthusiasm into there. Raiders play today.
Well, Raider fans, you know where to find your Raider game.
Max Crosby.
Marquee game. Max Crosby said the hell with this.
Desmond Ritter revenge game. Make sure you tap in.
This is going to be interesting to see. Does Kirk Cousins get pulled from this game if he continues his poor play?
That's a good question.
Would you pull him?
Nope, because I'm going to believe in the end, buddy, you can beat the Raiders.
Wow, that's a good point.
It'd be hilarious if the Raiders won this game.
And what a brutal end for Kirk Cousins that'd be. You lose to the... What a brutal end to Antonio Pierce that would be.
Yeah,
well, yo, don't win this game.
Antonio Lovey Smith Pierce.
You got New York out of the way last night. The Jets.
Yeah.
Don't lose this. Don't mess around and win this game. That's for the Raiders. For the Kings, mess around and win this game.
Please win this
game. And let's win these prize picks. We'll talk about it tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, like the bean.